right. Good evening, everyone. Let's look to the scriptures together. We're going to Psalm 107. It's a fairly long psalm, 43 verses, but if we ought to have anything, if we ought to have time for anything in church service, it ought to be prayer and the Word of God. Isn't that right? So Psalm 107 is before us this evening. It's one of my favorite psalms. We could have read it from the King James Version, which is where the song comes from that we used to sing that said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." And that comes from the King James Version. The NIV messes up the song, but it's a wonderful translation as well. This is the Psalm of the Redeemed and a psalm urging those who have been redeemed by the Lord to declare such, not only to give thanks to the Lord, but to tell everybody else around us what the Lord has done for us. This is a psalm about praise and testimony. And so let's read together. We're going to read the words of the entire psalm, but we'll start this evening with just the first three verses, then we'll move into our outline and read the psalm as we move along together. Psalm 107 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south." Now turn me down just a little bit up there in the sound booth. I feel like I'm way too loud. Am I too loud tonight? Turn me down just a little bit, because if I start shouting, I will be too loud. So just a little quieter. And let's think about Psalm 107 and this psalm of praise and testimony this evening. Psalm 107 is about both desperation and deliverance. Everybody say desperation and deliverance. Those are two sides of the same coin, we might say. If you've ever been in a place of desperation, you know that you needed deliverance. Deliverance, when we talk about deliverance, is something that God himself reaches down to accomplish. We don't deliver ourselves, the Lord delivers us. And this is a psalm about people who have found themselves at their wits' end, at the end of their rope, and at the bottom of the barrel, and they cry out to God in those times of desperation, and God sweeps in with his deliverance. One Old Testament king, my favorite, maybe one of my favorites at least, Jehoshaphat, prayed a prayer one day. They were in a place of desperation, and Jehoshaphat prayed this prayer: "Oh Lord, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Anybody ever found yourself at that kind of a place? We don't know what to do, Lord, so our last option, our first option, our best option is to look to the Lord. And when we look to the Lord sees and hears. Psalm 107 is about the love and the goodness of God, who hears the cries of desperate people and answers them and brings his deliverance. And I think this is a summary. This is a record. Psalm 107 is a record or a catalog of redeemed people who have been redeemed from all different kinds of places and from all different kinds of situations. And it seems that the psalmist is working here in Psalm 107 to just reach out under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and list occasion after occasion after occasion after occasion where the Lord came through, so that anybody with any kind of need in your life could look to Psalm 107 and find yourself in that psalm and reach out to the Lord and trust him for the deliverance that God himself declares. So this evening we're going to look at two simple points. If you have an outline before you, you know it's broken down into a variety of subpoints. But our two main points this evening is the record of the redeemed and the reflections of the redeemed. And we begin by looking at the record of the redeemed as recorded in Psalm 107. What does the psalmist declare? Well, the psalmist says that God has redeemed and gathered them. Okay? two points to this. He has redeemed them and he has gathered them. Verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. So we begin the psalm by declaring that people from everywhere have been delivered by God, rescued by God, and gathered together as a group, as a body of redeemed people from the east, south, north, and west. From every different direction, God has brought people together who have a testimony of what God has done. Now, here we are on a Wednesday night, and we're here this evening as believers, and I can just tell you right now by looking around that everybody in the room here tonight has some kind of testimony about what the Lord has done in your life, how he saved you, how he redeemed you, how he healed you, how he helped you, how he provided for you, this, that, and the other. Everybody here has a testimony, and we are gathered together as the people of God. How many of you tonight have a testimony for the Lord? Say amen. So, God has redeemed and gathered them. Secondly, God has requested and required gratitude and glory from them. Here it is, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. Now, when we sang this as kids, we sang it, you know, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and everybody shouted, so. Well, that's not the point of this. The point is not for everybody to shout so. The point is there is something that we are supposed to say, okay? Let the redeemed of the... Do I have my pointer anywhere in the house? Somebody up there. What we're supposed to say as the redeemed is verse number what? So we've got the declaration in verse 1, and verse 2 requires us to make that statement. All right, so how many of you here again are redeemed by the Lord? Say amen. Say amen. All right, that means together we are supposed to say verse number 1. Thank you, Justin. Let's say it together out loud. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. So we have this invitation to come together and to declare the praises of God. And then the psalmist moves into this catalog of difficult situations and scenarios where people found themselves without hope, but they cried unto the Lord, and the Lord brought about supernatural deliverance. Now, we sometimes use that word supernatural, and that's exactly the word we want to use, because when we talk about the word supernatural, we're talking about things that are above and beyond the natural. In other words, places where you could not help yourself, but God moved in and helped you from above. Remember Psalm 40, where David says, I waited patiently for the Lord and cried out to him. He heard my cry. He reached down into the miry clay, into the mud and the mire, and he picked me up, and he set my feet up on a rock and gave me a song to sing. Remember David declaring that he was stuck down there in the mud and the mire, but when he called, the Lord is the one who lifted him out. He could not climb out of the pit. He could not scratch his way up the sidewall of the pit. He didn't have a ladder, and nobody threw him a rope. The Lord reached down with his long, long arm and with his mighty hand and lifted David out of that pit and brought him up and set him down upon a rock where he had a solid place to stand. That's what we're talking about when we refer to the supernatural deliverance of God. God did it, and we know it was the work of God. Now, I am quick to say, and I have said many times, that any work of healing, any work of provision, any work of blessing that we receive in life has come from the hand of our good God. James 1 says, every good and perfect gift comes from the hand of God. So we're quick to say that even if the doctor prescribed a medicine that helps you to get well, that provision comes from God, because God is the giver of every good gift that we enjoy. So when we experience the blessing of the Lord, we always credit God. And in a sense, we would have to say that any blessing that has come to us in life from the Lord is a supernatural blessing, because after all, we just don't even live without the supernatural supply of breath given to us by God. So there is a natural and there is a supernatural, and when God gets involved, it is always the supernatural. So we're called then to praise the Lord for what he's done and where he's brought us from. This past Sunday, I preached from the parable of the unworthy servants, and I made the point that we should never forget where God has brought us from. And that's the story of Psalm 107 this evening. Let's look together. We're going to find that the points tonight are extremely redundant. The situations are different, but the responses are the same. So let's examine them together and note. Here is the story of the redeemed. Some, first of all, were redeemed from shortage. Now, let's talk about these words that are on the outline. Five categories of difficulty from which the Lord has redeemed us. There's shortage. We didn't have enough supply. There's slavery, where we were bound and subjected to hard labor. There's sickness. Fourth, there are storms that come into our lives. And the fifth category is similar situations. Because at the end of the psalm, the psalmist just comes to the place where he says, whatever I haven't mentioned, I'm going to try to mention right now. And he catalogs a whole variety of things that have not yet been included in the previous four categories. So let's see what happened when some were experiencing real shortage in life. Look at their distress. Verse 4. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty. Everybody say hungry and thirsty. They were suffering shortage. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. What a picture that is. Out there in the desert without proper food and water, and they were dying of starvation and dying of thirst. But note what they did. In their distress, they made a decision. What was their decision? Verse six. Then they what? They cried out to the Lord. Do we have the subpoints on in the outline there? Some redeemed from shortage. You're on the text passage, Dave. There we go. Some were redeemed from shortage. There's their distress. All right. They wandered in desert wastelands. Next, their decision. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and notice their deliverance. Verse 6 again. And the Lord, what? He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. So the Lord not only provided for them, but he brought them to a place where they could settle down and live at peace, no more wandering, and a place obviously of supply and provision. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives were ebbing away, but God came in and supplied their needs. Anybody here, God has supplied needs for? How many of you here, is there anybody here tonight who would be honest enough to say that at some point in your life, you had a financial need, but God supplied the financial need? Is there anybody like that? Of course. Unless you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth as a millionaire, everybody just about knows what it is to depend on the Lord for his supply for our basic needs, food and water. That's why Jesus instructed us in the Lord's Prayer that we are to pray on a daily basis. Give us this day our daily bread. And it's not that the Lord has not been providing it for us, but it's that we're acknowledging that our daily supply of bread comes from the Lord. We acknowledge that. So, their distress, their decision to call out upon the Lord, their deliverance, and then we see their duty to declare. Verse 8 says, let them give thanks to the Lord, for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Isn't that good? So the Lord satisfied their hunger and thirst with good things. I think it wouldn't be right tonight for us just to march through this out, this outline, without taking just a few moments in between to thank the Lord for his provisions in our lives. What do you think tonight? Would you just take a moment and thank the Lord for the supply of your daily needs? Thank him for food and water. Thank him for satisfying the desires of your heart. We thank you, Lord. You are always more than enough. You are faithful. We declare that every good gift has come from you. And we thank you, Lord, for what you have done. Lord, you are good. You are good. And we thank you. Some were redeemed from shortage. Let's look at the second category of redeemed people. Some were redeemed from slavery. Now, here we have the same subpoints again. Think about what their distress looked like. Some sat in darkness and deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains. For they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So, now, pause for just a moment. We're going to see now that there are two kinds, there are two themes that run through this psalm regarding the distresses that people experience. Are you ready for this one? Sometimes we cause our own troubles. Are you here? And sometimes the troubles are inflicted upon us from the outside. Are you hearing me? Now, if we were to look back over our lives and try to determine, you know, what was my fault and what was not my fault, I'm telling you, sometimes we might not even be able to discern all of that properly. You know that? Because, you know, it's a fact of life, says the Proverbs, that all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Sometimes we recognize that we brought on our own trouble, and sometimes we don't recognize it. And the truth is, sometimes we have brought it on, and sometimes we're just victims of a fallen world. Isn't that right? So we see here in the first category, those in shortage, suffering shortage, we didn't see any fault on their part. But now when we come to these who are suffering slavery in this particular situation, they have brought about difficulty for themselves. They had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled and there was no one to help. I can't help when I read those words to think about people who maybe have fallen into some sinful bondage where they have become bound and trapped and imprisoned because of the sins that they have committed and because of their rebellion against God. We could look at a variety of people in this world who have fallen into those places, who have gone the way of drugs and alcohol and all kinds of sinful living. And those sinful living, those sinful lifestyles have brought about spiritual bondage in their lives. The Apostle Peter said, a man is a slave to what has mastered him. So when people surrender themselves to other lords, how many of you know those other lords can become very cruel taskmasters? And so we find here that these people who were in this slavery to these powerful forces were there because of their own sinful decisions, and God himself allowed them or subjected them, the scripture says, to bitter labor, and they stumbled, and there was no one to help. Everybody say, no one to help. No one to help. No one to help. Oh, no one to help. That's the place of hopelessness and desperation. There was no one to help. I think about the prodigal son out in the pig pen. Nobody was taking up for him out there in the pig pen. He was there in the pig pen by himself, nobody to help. Thank God he made a decision to go back to his father. Amen? So these people were distressed. They got there because of their own sins, but notice their decision. Their decision is the same as previous. Verse 13, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. Look at me, everybody. When you are victim to some other force and you find yourself in trouble, cry out to the Lord. And obviously you're going to do that. But let me make the second case here. When you have found yourself in a whole heap of a lot of trouble and you realize it's your own fault, don't be too shy or ashamed to call out to the Lord. The Lord is in the business of forgiving sinners. Amen. Could I have a better amen? Amen? So even if you've caused your own grief, don't say, well, I don't deserve to be helped by God. I brought it on myself. No, that's a lie from the devil. Call out upon the Lord. So they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and notice their deliverance. Verse 13 says, and the Lord saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. The Lord broke the bondage that they themselves were the cause of getting themselves into. That causes me to realize that there is hope for every sinner. No matter where somebody has gone, no matter what they have done, no matter what the dark situation they have found themselves in, nobody is beyond the reach of our gracious and merciful God. Hallelujah. And so the Lord delivered them. He delivered them just as he delivered the people in the previous situation. He delivered them and he broke away their chains. So not only did he bring them up out of that darkness, but he broke the bondage that was upon their lives. You know what? I'm still a Christian who believes that the Lord is able to break every yoke of bondage when we come to him and trust him. You believe that? I love that. Where's my brother David back there? Well, I love the story of my grandpa Perkins, who got saved in midlife after having been a terrible alcoholic for years and years and years and years. But my grandpa Perkins, when he got saved and gave his heart to the Lord, he got saved. And that day, the Lord delivered my grandpa Perkins from drinking, and he never took another drink. My dad used to tell that testimony, how my grandpa was supernaturally delivered by the Lord. Listen, nothing is too hard for our God. Amen. Nothing is too hard for our God. So they were delivered, and now note their duty to declare. Verse 15, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. No prison, no wall, no chain is too hard for the Lord to break. You say, well, here we are in church on a Wednesday night, we're a bunch of goody two-shoes. Well, let me just say to you this evening, if that might be the case for you, then thank God for what he's kept you from. Could I hear an amen? And if the Lord has kept you from a lot of that, then I can guarantee you another thing. There are people around you who are suffering under the bondage of the enemy. Let's trust the Lord to bring deliverance and healing for those who need God's power. Could you say amen? And let's recognize that as believers, we are those who are obliged to give testimony of the goodness and the power of God. I think we ought to say to people on a regular basis when they find themselves in trouble, well, God can help you. God can help you. Do you believe that in every situation? Do you believe? I think we can say, God can help you. I don't think it's too much of a stretch when you're talking to somebody who's in some real difficult spot, maybe even somebody you don't even know at the gas station or whatever, who tells you about some situation. I don't think it's too much at all for you to say, you know what? God can help you in this. Would you mind if we prayed right now? How many of you know sometimes we just step out in boldness, grab hold of somebody's hand? I'm telling you, the Lord can and will set up divine appointments if we're willing to be used by him. I have experienced that myself on a variety of occasions where God just opened up a door for a rank stranger for me to just come and just say, well, can we pray together about that situation? You know, the Lord is able, and we're, as the redeemed, we're the ones who are supposed to tell those who are still in need of God's redemption. Could I have an amen? So their duty to declare, they're supposed to tell. If you've been delivered from something like that, then you're supposed to tell it. Some were redeemed from shortage. Some were redeemed from slavery. The third category in our psalm tonight is sickness. Some were redeemed from sickness. Now we have a familiar healing promise here, healing word in this passage. Psalm 107:17 begins that process. But let's look at these who were suffering in sickness. Here we have their distress, verse 17. Some became fools through their what? All right, so we're finding out again in this second in this third category, these people had brought trouble upon themselves as well. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. So their distress was all about some sickness that had come upon them. And the sickness has come upon them because they were rebellious and foolish. Have you ever known somebody who made themselves sick physically by their sinful lifestyle? Sure you have. People who have experienced great sicknesses because of the sinful lifestyles in which they engaged. Well, Psalm 107 lays that scenario out. Here they are. They're suffering sickness. And not only are they suffering sickness, but where are they? They are near the gates of death. They are not only sick, they are very sick in Psalm 107. They are close to death. They are hopeless. There's no remedy for them. No doctor has been able to cure them. Are you hearing me? No medicine has been able to help them. They are sick and they are dying. And they are about to die. They are in major distress. But note their decision, verse 19. It's going to be the decision in all of these cases is the same. Verse 19, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. Sick people crying to the Lord in their trouble. And when they cried to the Lord, notice the deliverance that came. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. Now here's the healing word that many quote. He, the Lord, sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. I can't tell you how many times in my own life and ministry I have quoted from Psalm 107:20. He sent forth his word and healed them. I love the picture of that. I love that because Isaiah 55 says, the Lord speaking, my word that goes forth from my mouth will not return to me empty or void, but it will accomplish the thing for which I sent it. It will do, when I speak, says the Lord, what I speak is good, and my word will accomplish its intended purpose. And listen to me, if God sends his word to heal you, you are going to be healed. Because the word of God is powerful. The word of God is powerful. In the ministry of Jesus, somebody said to Jesus, just say the word, Lord. Just say the word, and my servant will be. Just say the word. If the Lord speaks the word, the deed is as good as done. And so the Lord sent his word and healed them. I think today about those who are calling out to the Lord for healing in some place, in some way, in their physical bodies or whatever else it is. I just want you to know that the Lord has already sent forth an abundance of his word and his promises and his revelations about healing to us. He has already spoken to us. Isaiah 53, with his stripes we are healed. all the way back to Exodus 15, 26, I am the Lord who heals you. We could march through the healing scriptures tonight and find out that God has already sent forth his word. How many of you have a Bible in your house or in your hand? Say amen. If you have a Bible in your hand, God has already sent forth his word to you. I encourage you to grab hold of his word and trust his word and trust his promises in faith and believe that God is able and willing to do what he has promised he will do. And receive healing from the Lord. They were delivered as the Lord healed them and rescued them from the grave. Now they weren't quite in the grave, but they were close to it, weren't they? They drew near the gates of death and he rescued them from the grave. Listen, have you ever heard somebody say about somebody, he's got one foot in the grave? Yeah. Have you ever heard that? Some of you remember old brother James McAfee, who pastored Western Hill, what is now Calvary Assembly, the Assemblies of God Church across town. James McAfee was a dear friend of mine, still a friend of mine, lives in Springfield, Missouri. Brother McAfee was a good strong pastor, a giant of a man, and a strong pastor. And Brother McAfee told me the story one time about how he was out at the graveside performing officiating a graveside service, and they had that artificial green grass that, you know, they spread out around. And he said they didn't have marked very clearly where the grave actually started. And he said as he was officiating the graveside service, he stepped over a little closer to the casket and he fell flat down into the grave. He said they had to pull him up out of the grave. He was not dead, but he had to be rescued from the grave. So he told me that story probably 25 years ago. Can I tell you that I think about that story at every graveside service I ever officiate? I think about it. I look around real carefully and I think, I'm not falling down in there. I'm going to learn from Brother McAfee. I'm not falling down in there. Well, we've heard people say he's got one foot in the grave. In other words, he just barely hanging on to life. He'll be buried soon. Well, these people drew near the gates of death, but the Lord rescued them from the grave and gave them what I call a new lease on life. Hallelujah. Just this week, we've been praying for one of our families whose son had a very tragic situation. I won't go into the details, but that son should have, could have, would have been dead because of that situation. But God worked a divine miracle of intervention in that situation, and he's alive today. And I said to that family, he's got a new lease on life, and we're going to pray that God will do amazing things in his future. Listen, the Lord is able to give us a new season. You believe that? So the Lord delivered them and healed them. And note then their duty to declare, verse 21. You say, this is really redundant. Well, this is the word of God tonight. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Oh, now we have an addition here. They are called to respond a little further. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with what? Songs of joy. So thus far we've had this requirement for them to talk about the goodness of the Lord and give thanks to the Lord, but now they're called upon to go an extra step and to begin to sing out in worship and thanksgiving to the Lord and tell of his works with songs of joy. Isn't that good? Thank you, Marty and Teresa, for leading. I know they led Count Your Blessings tonight because I referred to it last Wednesday night. I know they did. Aren't you glad for the blessings of God in your life? And sometimes we just got to break out in songs of joy, singing about the goodness of God, telling how good the Lord has been, and rejoicing in the goodness of God. All right, we have a fourth category. Here we are, some redeemed from shortage, some from slavery, some from sickness, some number four, were redeemed from storms, the storms of life. Let's note their distress in verse 23. Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were where? They were at their wits' end. Here they are. Now, it's interesting to me. I told you that a theme was running through this psalm from the beginning. In the first case, those who were suffering shortage. No blame placed on them. They were just dealing with life. The second two categories, slavery and sickness. Both of those categories of people had something to do with their own distress. They had brought trouble upon themselves by ignoring God. And now we have a fourth scenario, the storms of life. No blame is placed upon these who are suffering the storms of life. How many of you understand that the storms come for everybody? And here they are, and though the Lord has stirred up the tempest here in this situation, we understand that the Lord is the God of nature, and perhaps this is referring just to the fact that God is over nature. And here the storms are rising, and they're mounting up to the heavens. They're up to the heavens and down to the... Get the picture in your... Have you ever been on a deep sea fishing trip? Have you ever been on a boat like that in rough waters where the boat just went foo, foo, foo? Have you ever been like that? It's been a long time since I told the story of my deep sea fishing trip. I went deep sea fishing down one time down in Gulf Shores, Alabama. I went deep sea fishing. I was on a vacation. I was by myself. I thought, I'm going on a deep sea fishing trip. And I had taken along some little bracelets that somebody had given me to keep me from getting seasick. You know what I'm talking about? And I had also had a box of, what's it called? Dramamine. And so I thought, I don't want to get sick. So I had prepared myself thoroughly for that deep sea fishing. Number one, I can't swim. Number two, I hate fish. And number three, I don't even enjoy fishing. What I wanted was the boat ride, right? And so here I am, I'm in line, I'm getting ready, I'm down there, I have prepared, I'm in line to get on the boat, and as I'm getting ready to get on the boat, people are lined up, and here's a group of about three or four college students here, and they are boasting and bragging about how much they had drank the night before. And I listened to it, and I thought, boy, all I really thought was, boy. And here they were boasting about how much they drank the night before. We got on the boat about half hour out into that rough water. Here I was, middle-aged preacher, doesn't even like fishing, but here I am on the side of the boat. I'm just as happy as a lark. And here are these three tough college young men puking their guts out over the sides of the boat. And I said to myself, I remember the picture in my mind. I said to myself in that moment, I'm glad I'm a Christian. And what I meant was, I'm glad I'm a non-drinking Christian. That's really what I meant. I'm glad. But I know what it is to reel and stagger like drunken men. When I was preaching years ago on a cruise around the Hawaiian Islands, a group from Missouri here, the Black Christian Singles of Missouri, invited me. Robert Crouch was the leader of that. They invited me to come and be their preacher for the week for their ministry cruise. I preached six mornings and six nights in a row on that cruise ship. And when I preached there in those meetings, I preached like this. Literally, because the big room that they had us in for these meetings was on the side of the ship. And so the ship was doing this, and I literally paced back and forth like this to try to keep my balance. So I know what it is. Anybody here ever been seasick? maybe you know what it is to bounce back and forth. This was before Psalm 107 was before the days of Dramamine. And here they are. They're on that ship, reeling back and forth on that ship. And the storm is unmanageable. And they are at their wits' end. Now let's think. I got to move it here. Let's think about their wits' end. Let's think about an explanation of wit. The end of wit. Well, what is wit? Well, it's impressive intelligence, special smarts and skills, clever creativity. So if you have wit, you can figure your way out of things, okay? Has anybody ever figured your way out of something? Of course you have. God has given us wit. But sometimes we come to the end of it. Note the employment of wit. Well, it involves examination and evaluation. We look at the situation, we embrace it, and we endeavor to do something, and we exert effort and energy to try to resolve the situation, okay? So we're employing our wit. Look thirdly at the exhaustion of wit. What happens when we get to our wit's end? Well, our resources are expended. Our reasoning and revelation have evaporated. We have nothing left. And our resiliency is expired. When we're at our wit's end, we no longer know what to do. But then we see escape at the end of wit. And that's the loving Lord, the listening Lord, and the liberating Lord. And here's the point. When we no longer have the ability or the wisdom, the capability to do anything about our situation, what can we decide to do? There is a God in heaven whose resources are far beyond ours. Aren't you glad? So there was their distress. Look at their decision here. Here it is. It'll be familiar. Verse 28. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. At the end of wit, they cried out to the Lord, and they were delivered. Verse 28 says, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. Doesn't this sound like, this is way back in Psalm 107, maybe written 800,000 years maybe before the New Testament. These are the words of Psalm 107. Doesn't this sound like it's lifted right out of the pages of the Gospels? When Jesus steps out into that stormy sea, notice this, the Lord stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. The storm was calmed, and they finished their journey, and they got to the place where they were headed. That sounds like the Lord's rescue in the middle of life, doesn't it? What's their duty to declare? Verse 31, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. So they're called to say, look what the Lord has done. They are charged by God to say when they have come through that storm, look what the Lord has done. God brought me through this. God brought me through this. I didn't have any wits left, but God made a way where there seemed to be no way. And here I am today. Let them praise the name of the Lord. And then the psalmist comes now to the final category. Some were redeemed from similar situations. Boy, this is a lot here. Verse 23, he turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground. fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who had lived there. He turned the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into flowing springs. There he brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards that yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased, and he did not let their herds diminish. Then their numbers decreased, and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. He who pours contempt on nobles made them wander in a trackless waste, but he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. The psalmist closes this psalm with a declaration of a variety of situations that I would summarize like this. You better walk with God. You better live God's way. Could you say amen? If you go God's way, there are blessings. If you go the world's way and the wicked way, there are troubles you're going to endure. But wherever you find yourself in life, whether you've gone the wrong way or the right way, call out to the Lord and turn your heart back toward him, and he will lift you up out of the shadows and bring you back into his favor and grace and love. And if you'll walk with God, you will experience his deliverance again and again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is a deliverer. And at the close of the psalm, we've already examined the record of the redeemed. Now, here's our, aren't you glad this isn't as long as the first point? We see the reflections of the redeemed. At the end, verse 43 says, whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. Now, I would venture to guess that many people in life who know the Lord have been through just about every one of these kinds of situations that Psalm 107 deals with. People have dealt with shortage. They've dealt with slavery, bondage in different places. Even if it was a slavery to fear or something like that, people have dealt with shortage and slavery. They've dealt with sickness. People have dealt with the storms of life. And people have dealt with a variety of similar situations. And we know what it is as the people of God to cry out in the midst of our distress, help me, O Lord my God. And to experience the help of the Lord over and over again. I hope then we also know what it is to give praise and thanks to God and to testify to everybody around us, to tell of the goodness of the Lord and to praise his name and thank him for all that he has done for us. Our God is a good God. And boy, don't you know when we finally get into heaven, whatever we can look back upon and remember, don't you know we're going to say, wow, the Lord brought me through every situation, and he's brought me now safely to my heavenly home. Look what the Lord has done. Hallelujah.